Hey, this is Joseph from The Healthy Marriage, and I'm here today with my wife, Michelle, and I have some questions I want to ask her on a specific topic. Now, this is kind of us unplugged a little bit. I did send her an email with these questions so she could think about it a little bit, but Michelle has a ministry to women, and you can find that at michelleleenolan.com, and I'll have the link below this video, but she's a big part of what we do at The Healthy Marriage, and I lean on her a lot to get feedback. But one of the subjects that comes up frequently in her ministry to women is the issue of being unequally yoked. And there's a scripture, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, don't be unequally yoked together. And so that's a pretty neat word picture, and I'll have Michelle explain that in just a minute. But I wanted to ask her, in all the times you deal with women, this subject seems to come up frequently. Mm-hmm. So I guess my first question would be, what does that mean in terms of marriage, to be unequaled in your relationship?
Well, the picture is actually a biblical picture kind of two oxen that are pulling a plow together. And so how I would probably say that in marriage is you could kind of narrow it down to we're kind of missing. We're not staying in step with one another.
Right.
And so one person is not walking at the same pace that the other person
right.
is.
So how important do you think it is that we walk in sync together? I mean, I know you deal a lot with women, and so obviously it's an mm-hmm. issue that comes up, and I'm sure that there's varying degrees of mm-hmm. it, but you know, how important is it that we're yoked together mm-hmm. properly?
It's so important because the entire aspect of staying equally yoked is that it creates unity and it creates an environment so that we can grow together,
right.
so that we can stay in step.
Right. And I know if you read the blog a lot, one of the issues that we're big on is the issue of trust. Mm-hmm. Having a safe place and being in a relationship that provides you emotional security and emotional mm-hmm. safety. So mm-hmm. I can see why being mm-hmm. in sync kind of builds on that platform. Mm-hmm. So can you give me an example? And I know, of course, you won't use names mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. all of that, but give me an example of someone you've dealt with or a situation that you encountered and someone came to you and they were in a situation that was out of sync and unequaled.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have dealt with so many women just over the years, but I can think of one situation where a young woman came and we prayed together, and she really had a spiritual hunger, and she dedicated her life spiritually to Christ, and she began to grow quite rapidly. And her husband would attend church periodically, but he wasn't really very interested at all in spiritual things. Mm-hmm. He was curious about her faith, but he didn't really want to join in. And so what happened was, as she began to grow, it caused them to go even further away mm-hmm. than before she had even dedicated her life to Christ and her spiritual growth.
So they were kind of out of sync in the first place,
mm-hmm,
and this just
right.
almost fueled to the fire kind
right.
of thing. So what's the emotional toll that takes on a relationship when you just know you're not in sync and you're unequaled mm-hmm. together? How does that affect women emotionally?
Well, I think it's probably for me within the church, it's one of those things that really, it's not really addressed a lot and it's not spoken a lot about. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of silent suffering because it's one thing to be lonely when you're alone.
Right.
It's another thing to experience aloneness and a deep loneliness in the relationship
right.
that is supposed to meet a great amount of needs in your life. Not all of them, but a great amount.
Right.
So probably that aloneness and mm-hmm. the sting of that loneliness.
Yeah. We've talked before about the difference in being lonely and being alone. alone, boy, it just carries such a significant tone of just isolation, and I'm sure that's kind of how it feels. So, what can you do, or what should you do if you're in an unequaled relationship with your spouse?
I think that probably my advice would be, sometimes, you know, with women, and this doesn't probably would come across like, boy, that's a real spiritual answer. One thing that I wouldn't do is encourage them to just no holds bar. They are barreling in to every Bible study or every single aspect of spiritual growth while leaving their spouse, who's not even sure if they want to be a believer, behind. And I want you to understand my heart and what I'm saying in that, that spiritual growth is an aspect of our life. We all have a soul, whether we're believers or not. Mm-hmm. So you want to grow spiritually, but you don't want to rapidly leave your spouse behind while you're barreling ahead. But I would say focus on, in your relationship, what can you build on? Do you like to hike together? Do you like to bowl together? Do you like to have friends over and play cards? Do you like to watch movies together? Do you have a good friendship outside of the spiritual aspect? And so I would say maybe you have intellectual conversation that you really, that stimulates something in both of you, and you can share that together.
Right. So that is quite contrarian to what you would expect somebody to say. And you're not saying don't grow.
Right, right.
But you're saying let's work on maintaining and cultivating that connection.
Right.
So how could a woman, or, you know, what's the best way to approach your husband to say, I feel a gap here and I want to close the gap? What's the best way to do that?
First and foremost, I always think that you either have people at hello or you don't.
Right.
And many times we get really familiar with our spouses, and when frustration starts to build, we don't usually have them at hello.
Right.
Because when great need starts setting in, we get really comfortable, and we can come across not as sweet as we would with the store clerk, or maybe, you know, brother so-and-so at church or sister so-and-so at church. So the first thing is being very aware of your approach. Secondly, I would say it's more stating what you need rather than what you're not getting from them.
Well, that's good.
And making them feel attacked or that they're not doing something right. So maybe the aspect of, this is what I'm needing in my life right now, and this is what I'm hoping that you can see this and hear me and help provide this in our relationship.
Yeah. And most of the time, I think that's sufficient. Most of the time, in fact, most of the men I know really want to have a connection with their spouse. So I think most of the time that's going to work. But I'm going to ask a very tough question. What if you are married to your husband and he is just stubborn and rebellious? And no matter what your approach, you seem to either get it, at best, you get a cold shoulder, and at worst, you get some verbal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So what then? What do you do with that?
Well, sometimes you do have situations to where you kind of come to a crossroads, and it's like you're having the same conversation over and over, but it's not going anywhere. I would say pray.
Right.
And really do some internal inventory and do work on you first.
Right.
And really pray for your spouse. You know, for me, because I deal with women in ministry, I can give you a scriptural example from 1 Peter chapter 3, where it talks about when you're dealing with your husband, if they don't believe the word, without your words, let your great fear of the Lord and your chaste disposition and your discretion and your wisdom be a witness to him. And then that behavior, that you're honoring God and honoring him, will speak so much louder than our, like, 10,000 words a day.
Right.
I got a lot of words.
Yeah.
We have a lot of words, girls. So, but that's not the thing that's going to win them over. But, so I would say, pray for him and pray for you. And then there's another example, scripturally, about a man named Nabal and his wife named Abigail. This man was a fool. And you know, I've heard it said that in every man there is a king and a fool, and in every woman there is a queen and, let's say, a brat. Although I can think of some other things, you know, right, what I'm saying, girls. But so you always call that person out of them. Right. Well, in this scriptural story of Nabal and Abigail, Nabal's a fool. He's a very rich, selfish man that loves to have a few beers at night. Mm-hmm. And when he has those, more of what is in him comes out. Abigail is a God-fearing woman. She loves God, and she honors people that are called by God. Well, in this story, to wrap it up in a short version, David is this king, and Nabal doesn't want to help him, and David has honored him, protected his property, protected right, his men, and David has a way to where he's like, what? Who is this fool? Well, Abigail intervenes because she's a wise woman, and she tempers the entire situation.
Yes. She diffuses it.
She diffuses it. Right. And she not only, at this point, she really preserves her husband and she preserves David.
Right.
And they both respect her. But I would say, once again, with both of these men, you're having people at hello, and the way you present your situation or case is going to matter.
Right. She was a very wise woman in how she went about not completely just dissing her husband, but honoring the king and maintaining this peace among them in a very wise way.
Right.
So disposition does matter, and it means more than I think we give, give credence to. Mm-hmm. So when do you seek legal help? You know,
when there's a situation and you are dealing with issues that are either illegal or there's physical/ right, emotional abuse,
right,
I can tell you over the years some of the most heartbreaking stories that I've heard that I've had to say, you have to leave. You
right,
have to get out, because it was either a case where there was so much abuse or there was illegal activity going on
right,
that was going to incriminate their spouse.
Yes.
And there is a time for that,
right,
and it's necessary for God to either do a work on your spouse so that a time of separation can come and you can see if there's going to be some growth and there's going to be some potential hope in
right,
that relationship.
Right. So, you know, before you mentioned about doing things for you, taking care of you. So what are some things you can do for you? If you're in that situation, what do you do for you?
Well, it can feel like a vacuum if you're in that kind of situation, because our relationship with our spouse is the longest relationship that we will have outside of being a mother and a father to our children. The reality is our children, they're going to leave, and they're supposed to. And that's an aspect that's really, really healthy, that if you're clinging to your children because you don't have the marriage you want with their father or their mother, at some point that's going to implode.
Right.
So the relationship with your spouse. So, and if that is not really at the level that you're really desiring it, I would say there's several things, because our spouse is not the only need that we have in our life. Although whenever that's disappointing and dissatisfied, it can feel like you're in a vacuum. But recognize the other avenues that meet your needs. Recognize hobbies.
Yeah.
Recognize friendships. Recognize exercise groups that you can be part of. Recognize extending your education and in even growing in your vocation,
right,
and what it is that you want to do. And those needs in our lives can be met through a lot of different
right,
avenues.
Right.
Great friendships, Bible study groups, and those kind of things.
Good. What are some tools you'd like to leave people with? If you could say, hey, you know, check this out. If you're really struggling here, do that. What are some resources that you've recommended in the past and that you think are really good for people?
There's some different resources over the years that I have recommended, one of which is the Boundary Series by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. They are wonderful. There's one, Boundaries in Marriage. Another one is just like some different books. I think there's one that's Women Who Do Too Much.
Oh, yes.
Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, I think is the title of a book. The Five Love Languages.
Yes.
So many tools that just can help you understand you and help you understand your spouse. And one thing that I have discovered is if you will go on a self-discovery in a healthy manner, instead of sometimes you don't even realize when you kind of are bleeding over into codependent things and you're just in process of like, well, if they would just take my tools, if they would just take my help and my advice, or if I could just leave these scriptures all over their pillow, they would want to read the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of stuff, it can be very well-meaning, but there can be a really fine line of manipulation that can come with that. And really, it's just out of great need, but it's really ineffective, and it doesn't work. And usually they end up resenting it. So I would say if you can really just look inward and start doing that work and see who you want to become and what you desire as an individual person. Because I think those, you know, striving for an interdependent relationship versus a codependent relationship is really healthy. I know, like, sometimes I will tell Doug, you know, I'm feeling like I need this or I need to do this. And, you know, sometimes in unhealthy relationships, we don't really come to the table going, this is what I need and this is what I need to do for me.
Right.
And
it's important to be transparent.
Yeah.
You know, I think honesty and transparency, and it breaks my heart that there are people that we deal with on a regular basis, and I know Michelle does, that are in relationships where they don't feel that freedom to just be transparent, to go, hey, I'm feeling a gap here and let's close it together. And so so that's good, yeah. I want to mention just a couple of resources, because I'm a big fan of the material that Dr. Lee Balcom has put together on the Save the Marriage system. If your marriage is at a point where you're really struggling and you really need some help, that's a great starting point. He covers the eight stages of a marriage crisis, and the big takeaway I took from that was that what works on one stage will not work on the other stage, but we tend to have one bullet in our gun, so to speak, and we approach every problem the same, and he'll help you get beyond that and know exactly what to do. So there's a link to that below. And also, we're in the process of putting together our very first Healthy Marriage Conference and Retreat, and it will probably be held here in Middle Tennessee, and there's some information on the website for that, so please check that out. Michelle, thanks for answering my questions, and I've got a couple of more things I'm putting together that I want to grill you on and ask you some questions on, but thanks so much, and you do a great job, and
she's
a wonderful wife, and we have a healthy marriage, so... I hope this helped you, and let us know. Leave us some comments below. Thanks.